It's year 2000. Brew, number 24. Barrier, 23. Kieran McAvoy, 20 years of age, just out of his apprenticeship on August 1st, becoming the second youngest jockey ever to win the Cup, carried 49 kilos. What a great moment for him. He's won a couple since then as well, Eddie at Macquarie Fields, but good nomination there for Kieran McAvoy and the 2000 Melbourne Cup. We'll take a break, we'll have the news, and then after that we're back with all of our special guests.
I'm Sarah Warby. The Prime Minister will try to push the world's largest free trade deal forward as far and as fast as possible during a quick trip to Thailand for the East Asia Summit, a meeting of 18 regional leaders to discuss economic and security issues. Scott Morrison will also hold talks with the Chinese Premier during his visit to Bangkok. About 500 businesses have signed up to a new program giving Defence Force personnel special discounts. A new card will give veterans and reservists access to more than 10,000 offers, both over the counter and online. The federal government says more than 33,000 people have already signed up to receive their cards. MP Bob Katter and Senator Pauline Hanson are joining forces. The Sunday Mail reports the pair will go on a four-day drought tour beginning in country Queensland tomorrow as part of their informal alliance. Mr. Katter and Senator Hanson are furious with the federal government's response to the drought. Greedy fishers in Victoria are on notice with a special operation targeting those who exceed bag limits. Two people have been caught this week taking more than the allowed amount of calamari in the Queenscliff area. Victorian Fisheries Authority Regional Manager Paul Miller says most are doing the right thing, but those who aren't will be caught.
The majority of recreational and our commercial sector are doing the right thing. There are a small number of people who do get greedy, as you said. There's an Operation Focus, where we're targeting this small cohort that are doing the wrong thing.
Still in Victoria, and two men are in hospital after a double shooting in Melbourne's west. Police say just before three this morning they found two men with gunshot wounds at Sunshine near the corner of Devonshire and Hampshire Roads. Two men, aged 36 and 40, were taken to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Detectives from the Armed Crime Squad are investigating. Also in news, rain and thunderstorms are on the cards for Sydney, bringing relief to the smoke haze which has choked the city for 5 days. Fire crews in Tasmania are continuing to work at containing fires burning in the south of the state. And in Western Australia today, there is a severe fire danger advice for the Pilbara and Kimberley regions with very hot, dry and windy conditions. The United Nations Secretary General is warning Asian counties need to quit what he's called their addiction to coal. Antonio Guterres is urging nations to adopt new energy policies. He says climate change is threatening countries vulnerable to rising sea levels.
In 2050, the research has forecasted that 300 million people will be flooded by seawater in the world. And dramatically, the most vulnerable areas are exactly in Southeast Asia, in Japan, China, Bangladesh and India.
And astronauts on board the International Space Station will soon have the chance to test their baking skills. A rocket carrying a cargo craft has launched, carrying an oven and ingredients to bake chocolate chip biscuits. The scientific experiment will observe what effects the weightless conditions have on the shape and consistency of the biscuits. This is AIR News. South Africa are the Rugby World Cup champions after beating England 32-12 in a bruising match dominated by penalty goals. It's the third time the Springboks have won the title. Springbok captain Siya Kolisi says the win unites South Africa.
You know, we come from different backgrounds, different races, and we came together with one goal and wanted to achieve it. I really hope that we've done that for South Africa to show that we can pull together if we want to win and achieve something.
England skipper Owen Farrell has told Channel 10 he's proud of his team despite the disappointing loss.
You know, I'm proud of this group. I'm proud of what we've done. How far we've come over the course of this tournament. It showed with the fight that we had in the the second half, but credit to South Africa, they were very good today.
Tonga has defeated Australia 16-12 in a rugby league clash. In the earlier matches of the Eden Park triple header, the Kiwis finished tight winners over Great Britain 12-8 and Fiji too strong for Samoa 44-18. In the A-League, the Western Sydney Wanderers have drawn with Brisbane Roar nil all in Parramatta. Western United down Melbourne Victory 3-2. The Sydney Kings have defeated the Adelaide 36ers 98-96 in overtime in the NBL. Earlier, Melbourne United beat South East Melbourne 110-98 in the WNBL wins to Canberra and Townsville. And Ash Barty is through to the final of the WTA event in China after downing Carolina Pliskova 4-6, 6-2, 6-3. Australian Independent Radio News.
Wherever you are in New South Wales, Sky Sports Radio's there too. On Braidwood, 87.6 FM. Maruya, 98.5 FM. Parks, 99.9 FM. And Jindabyne, 102.7 FM.
Tintin in America, winner of five Group 1 races, already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
To get the most out of your spring racing experience, be sure to visit the Doncaster Hotel, Sydney's true home of racing. Located just a 5-minute stroll down Doncaster Avenue from Randwick Racecourse, the Doncaster is the place to be and be seen pre and post race for Sydney's racing crowd. Take advantage of the Doncaster's full tap facilities. Enjoy a meal in their renowned restaurant or just dance and sing the night away to the music of DJ Carboli. Get the good oil and a cold beer at the Doncaster Hotel, where racing people go.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Want to live amongst natural open space and pristine golf courses? Live at the Hermitage Gledswood Hills in the heart of one of Sydney's fastest growing regions. Search the Hermitage Gledswood Hills. We've got various road closures and lane closures from Tempe to Heathcote this morning for the big MS bike ride. That includes Holbeach Avenue in Tempe. And look out for special event Clearways eastbound on Bondi Road from Old South Head Road to Bondi Junction to Sandridge Street to Bondi Beach for Sculpture by the Sea. It's the first week of Kmart's famous Christmas Top Tens, and it's all about their top 10 toys, like the new Frozen 2 Elsa and Anna doll, only $19 each. Hurry into Kmart today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
Melbourne, showers, 22 degrees a maximum. Brisbane, mostly sunny, 27. Perth, mostly sunny, 22. Adelaide, clearing showers and 21. Canberra, possible thunderstorm and 23 degrees. Hobart, a little chilly down there, late shower and 20 degrees. And Darwin, mostly sunny, maximum of 30 degrees. Here in Sydney town, possible thunderstorm. Should be nice. We need some
rain. Clear the air, Jimmy.
Clear the air.
Clear the air.
We need rain all around this state.
We certainly do. What a surprise. Yeah. Darwin, 33.
Darwin, 33. Maximum today in Sydney Town, 27.
Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Final hour of the program leading up to the Melbourne Cup, the race that stops the nation. Dean Bulldog Ritchie in for Ray Thomas, who is on assignment down there in Melbourne for this very program. He's also doing some writing for the Daily Telegraph while he's down there, which is fantastic as well. Dino, it is exciting, isn't it, the lead up to the race, but as we've heard from everyone, pretty hard to pick a winner. No one would have picked that Tonga was going to beat the Kangaroos yesterday.
No, extraordinary scenes. You got the feeling toward the end there, Jimmy, that they were going to win the Kangaroos. Somehow,
yes,
some way,
yes,
they were going to pull something out. And that little bit of class was going to get them across the line. But, gee, I thought the Tongan defence was up in your face and sustained for the full 80 minutes. And in the end, you know what, Jimmy? As hard as it is to admit, I think that they just wanted it a little bit more than what the Australians did.
16 points to 12. New Zealand earlier, 12-8 over the Great Britain Lions. Fiji, 44 over Samoa, 18. And in the Rugby World Cup final, congratulations. They are champions of the world for the third time. South Africa, 32 points to 12, an upset over the Eddie Jones-led England team. And should the Wallabies be chasing Eddie Jones as their coach? We'll take your thoughts on that on 13:53:53. A big hour coming up. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. Phil Moss talking football. Brady Height talking American sports. But up next, our legend of the game, the legendary Darren Biedman.
Saintly at the 200. Saintly dashing two lengths in front. Cummings and Biedman. Cummings going for 10 and he's got it. Saintly well clear of Count Chivas. Nothing like a Dane. And Sky Bay, but Saintly. Saintly wins it easily. From Count Chivas second. A photo third, either Sky Bay or Senator who ran on well.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yes, it's our great pleasure to introduce to the program as our legend today, a two-time Melbourne Cup winning jockey, an absolute legend, and now thoroughly currently involved in the thoroughbred industry with Godolphin, Darren Biedman. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Jimmy and Dean.
Thanks very much for your time, mate. What about that? We just heard the call of Saintly winning the Cup. I know it was the second time you'd won the Melbourne Cup. Such a dominant performance to do it for Bart Cummins again. What, when you hear that, what goes through the mind?
Some great memories. Just love hearing it. Yeah, it was a great stage, time of my career, and to do it with Bart. Like when you went to Melbourne, it was Melbourne Cup, but it was Bart Cummins as well because he stoned the race, through that period of time.
Mm. Hey, Darren, I'm interested to find out, when you crossed the finishing line in those two Melbourne Cups, what was your first thought? Who was it for? Was it for yourself, connections, trainer, family? Mm. Who was the first person you thought about when you went past that winning post?
Myself. because, I guess it's a bit of a selfish approach to it. But from when I was a young kid, we all sort of grew up hearing the Melbourne Cup or watching it at school, and they'd stop the class and turn the TV on when you're in year four or year five. And
yes.
So it was really entrenched in your life, and that's the only race that I wanted to win was the Melbourne Cup, and to be able to go across the line first on Kingston rule, like that home straight at Flemington, it felt like the Nullarbor. I was in front on Kingston Rule, probably about 150, 200 metres from home, and I sort of had to zigzag for a run, but you're just waiting for something to gobble you up. The winning post didn't come quick enough, but it was just a sense of relief that you've really achieved something that you've really wanted to do from, when I was, probably 7 or 8.
Yeah. Well, how did it become a part of your life, Darren? Was it a family thing? I think you grew up in regional New South Wales. How did the idea of becoming a jockey first plant itself in your mind?
My mum and dad, we used to have show ponies. We used to go to pony clubs and horse shows and rodeos. And so horses were very much a part of our life. I lived in Canberra in Woden Valley in a suburb called Garran, and yep, we had ponies in our backyard then. They built the stables, so horses were just a major part of our life all the way through my childhood years. And then going through the shows, I was able to, as a trainer in Sydney called Baden Hasler, and his daughter had horses as well. And so I got a job interview with Theo Green and left home at 15 and started my journey and my dream. Mm.
Darren, in car racing, it comes down to Bathurst. If it's the NFL, it comes down to Super Bowls, rather. Do you think a jockey's career is defined on how many Melbourne Cups that they've won?
I think it takes you a long way up the ladder. Mm. I think that you look at Ollie, I think he had history there yesterday. He had 72 or 73, victories over the Melbourne Cup, over the Spring Carnival. That's a mighty feat. And I guess it's longevity, consistency, and being able to perform under pressure.
Yeah. You had success very quickly. You won the apprentice premiership in your first year, and then you won it again a couple of years later. The Group 1s came pretty quickly. The Golden Slipper win on Inspired in 84. When did you start to think, yeah, well, I can make a real go of this, Darren?
Look, I guess probably winning the Golden Slipper. It was my first ride in a Group 1 race, and I was only 18 years of age, and I used to strap the horse, look after him, so very much a part of, you know, it wasn't just a horse that I picked up from another trainer, it was a horse that I looked after. And so the boss having faith in me, you know, at that stage of my career, so early, you know, I'd only been in my second year of riding, to win a race of that nature. I didn't realise how big that race... Well, it was a big race, but it was the Melbourne Cup was the race at that time, you know, for me. But
yeah,
to win a slipper, that really sort of thought, gee, I think I can make a go of this.
Yeah.
Darren, in your prime and throughout much of your career, you were the premier jockey in Australia, and with that goes enormous pressure. How did you cope with the weekly pressure of being the best in the country? Did you cope with it well? And who did you turn to if you didn't?
James McDonald gave me a great quote yesterday. I said to him, I said, do you get nervous on days like this? Do you get, you know, do you feel the pressure? He said, pressure is what you put in tyres. That was a good quote. But look, as a sportsman, it's all about what I've, you know, over the years, it's about being in a routine, fitness, being focused. You know, you live, you breathe, you're constantly thinking about, you know, the next sort of race day or, you know, a week ahead. So it really becomes your life, and you've got to be totally devoted to it.
Mm.
The moment you start to, you know, take your eye off the ball, it's when, you know, you're not doing those sort of 1%ers, 5%ers that make the difference between a short head win and a loss. And I was listening to sort of your radio before I got on, and you've got to want to do it, like the Tongans, you know. You've got to want to do it. It's just that drive in you that sort of takes you to that next level.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. 85 Group 1 wins. Some of them on the most famed horses in the country at the time. Do you have a standout Group 1 victory, and do you have a standout horse in your career?
Well, my first Group 1 was you know, obviously a standout with a slipper, and then the Melbourne Cup on Kingston Rule. You know, for that was probably the two main races. And look, the horse that I really, really had same, like, there was a couple of them, Lonro, Saintly and Octagonal. They were the main three,
right,
that I've really had so much, you know, heartfelt emotions towards. Lonro, I think he was the best horse I rode.
Wow.
He just had it all. Like, you could just feel the power underneath you. Like, he was like, you know, probably driving a high performance car. Like, you could just feel the power underneath him, and he was so strong and big shoulders and acceleration, and he knew he was so good as well. So he gave me probably the sensation that a lot of horses didn't.
Hmm.
Darren, in a big race, I'll be fascinated to get your answer here. When you give him a clip like a Lonro, for example, or a Saintly, how much exhilaration do you get when the power starts down the straight? The horse goes and you're on board. How much does your heart start to go bang?
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're in a race, the most important thing is just to keep relaxed, because the horse, like the reins between, you know, that you hang on to are like the telephone line to the horse, in the sense that you give them the message. So if they feel that you're nice and relaxed, they can feel it through your hands.
Mm.
And so you've got to remain composed. You can't get overawed with what's going on. So I guess being relaxed, but then when you get to about the sixth, 600 metres, 400 metre mark when you've got to start to look for runs and, you know, manoeuvre yourself into a position. It's about just holding it all together because you can really push a button too quick. And as Bart used to say, he said, oh, you've got an itchy bum there on the corner. Like, you know, you just go too early. So it's all about timing. It's a craft that you've really got to harness, and you can't get overawed by it.
Mm. Knowing that you retired from riding because of a injury sustained in a fall, and knowing that, yes, you have, it's a craft, but there's also that danger element with you the entire time. Darren, how do they work together, and what do you work on to make sure that you push that to the back of your mind when it comes to riding these massive animals?
Yeah, fear is one thing that sort of goes through a jockey's mind. I wouldn't say, you know, regularly, but there are thoughts of it. But you've got to have that mindset that you just block it out, because, you know, you do know that the elements are there for injury to happen, or, you know, for a horse to. But probably the quickest ones are the ones that, you know, are the easiest because, well, I remember I was in a race at Ipswich one day, and there were probably about a field of about probably 16 runners in the race. I think about 12 or 13 fell. The horse outside the leader fell. Oh. And I was back about third last. And you set, like, you're obviously in the race in the back straight, and you're watching the runners in front of you, and next minute you see the horse outside the lead go down, and then it was like a domino effect. And by the time that I'd fallen, I was nearly sort of down to probably half pace, three-quarter pace, because everything had slowed down. But it was like a minefield trying to dodge horses. And that was probably the worst fall I've been in,
yeah,
given that I could see it all happening unfold in front of me.
Mm.
But you've just got to block it out of your mind. And, you know, with my injury I had in Hong Kong, you know, it was just a normal day's work for me, turning up, going to work, track work, riding trials. And I went 150 metres out of the barriers, and the horse broke its leg, and then he broke its other leg. And
yeah,
when I fell, it just happened so quick. And it was all over before I knew it.
Mm.
Darren, you've obviously got an amazing eye for jockeys. Mm-hmm. Of the current crop, if you were down hypothetically to your last 10 bucks, which jockey would you put on today to fight for your money?
Oh, I love James Mack. You know, when his weight's right, when he's really in the zone, James Mack, he can get, you know, that extra head out of a horse, and he's very good, you know, stayers, sprinters, you know, all types of ground, fillies, colts. He's a real all-rounder. He's certainly got the wow factor.
Mm. All right, and just before we let you go, mate, a winner for Tuesday, can you help out the listeners?
Look, I think the Caulfield Cup winner. I was just looking back through it, you know, through its form, and hasn't, as its career in Japan,
mm,
hasn't run under a mile. So obviously they feel that it can run a trip. Obviously the mile and a half was as further as it went the other day, but the way it won the Caulfield Cup, holy, yeah, it's drawn the right gate. Damien's just going to be able to put it to sleep, and they're classy individuals, the Japanese runners.
$6.50 favourite now, Tab, Murder Glaze. So yeah, there's the tip from the two-time winning jockey, Darren Boomer. Darren, it's been fantastic. Thanks for your time this morning, and good luck on the Cup and beyond.
Thanks, fellas.
There he is, Darren Beedman, and a Hall of Fame jockey.
What a great interview, Jimmy.
Seriously, Dino.
Fascinating.
I wanted to ask him about the Australian Cup win of Lonro in 2004, knocked down twice in the straight, gets up and went. Just incredible career, incredible career. We'll take a break here on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. After the break, we'll get a sports update with Tanya.
Dynamics Indications, Gay and Adrian offer a colt to own with Aquas Farm. By Vancouver, Gay trained him to be the Golden Slipper winning champion two-year-old. From Danglissa Girl, daughter of the Gay Train Group 1 winner Danglissa, and closely related to Gay's Group 3 winner Sweet Redemption and Gay Stakes winner Unite and Conquer. Join our Dynamic Gay and Adrian and Aquas team for $9,400 a share. Visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
Lenny the Shark.
Racing in the Miracle Mile, the 50th running. Lazarus and our Waikiki Beach are trying to wind up. The leader narrowly is Lenny the Shark. Smolder and Lazarus, they're trying to close. But Lenny's trying to lift. Here's Smolder on the inside. Lenny the Shark and Smolder. Lenny's just in front. I think he might have got there. Lenny the Shark and nose to Smolder.
Lenny the Shark.
Standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales, where there's a value for money stallion for everyone. Visit yerribee.com.au.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
If you're after a forklift that leads the way in quality, reliability and productivity, then Toyota Material Handling has the right forklift solution for you. Toyota is the world's number one forklift brand with a massive range from pallet jacks, stackers and auto pickers to their market-leading Toyota Counterbalance forklifts. For new and used sales, short or long-term hire and all servicing, let Toyota Material Handling tailor the right forklift solution for your business. It's all part of the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Call 1-800-425-438 or hit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
South Africa outmuscled, outplayed and outperformed England to win the Rugby World Cup last night in Yokohama 32 points to 12. It's the Springboks' third World Cup title, drawing them level with New Zealand and one clear of Australia. In one of the great rugby league upsets, the Tonga Invitational 13 took down world champions Australia in the test in Auckland last night 16 to 12. In front of a sea of red and a crowd of almost 26,000 at Eden Park, the Tongans came back from 6 points down at halftime to claim a famous victory. In other test matches, New Zealand beat Great Britain 12-8 and Fiji 44 over Samoa 18. Western United came back from 2-0 down to beat Melbourne Victory 3-2 in the A-League clash at Marvel Stadium. Scott McDonald, the hero for United, scoring the winner in the 51st minute after his team clawed back to 2-2 at half-time. The Wanderers have returned to the top of the table but have dropped their first points of the season in a 0-0 home game against Brisbane. Caulfield Cup winner Murder Glace has firmed into Melbourne Cup favouritism at $7 after he drew barrier 2 for Tuesday's big race. He displaced Constantinople at the top of Cup betting after he drew barrier 7. Meantime, Colding could be set for the Doncaster Mile and or QE2 stakes in Sydney next autumn after his thrilling win in the inaugural Golden Eagle at Rose Hill yesterday. And still with racing, McKinsey is the favourite at $4.40 on Tab Fixed Odds for the Breeders' Cup Classic today at Santa Anita, that race around 11:44. A record crowd of 8,200 for the NBL match between Sydney and Adelaide in Adelaide last night. The fans weren't left disappointed when the match ended at 86-all after regulation time. The Kings, however, held their nerve in overtime to record a 98-96 victory to maintain their unbeaten start to the season with 6 from 6. Melbourne United led from start to finish to beat crosstown rivals South East Melbourne 110-98. Day 3 of the Sheffield Shield cricket match between New South Wales and South Australia in Adelaide. The home side resumed today at 7 for 222 in reply to the Blues' first innings of 289, while WA resume on day 2 of the match against Queensland in Brisbane at 7 for 255. In the WBBL yesterday, the Sydney Sixers beat the Melbourne Renegades by 4 wickets, Melbourne Stars over Perth Scorchers by 20 runs, and the Adelaide Strikers defeated the Brisbane Heat by 8 wickets. Yamaha rookie Fabio Quartararo smashed the lap record to earn his team a home home pole position for the Malaysian MotoGP. Aussie Jack Miller will start from fourth, while Max Verstappen has pole for the US F1 Grand Prix. Final round today of the WGC Championships in Shanghai. Rory McIlroy tops the leaderboard at 15 under. He's one ahead of Louis Oosthuizen. Xander Schauffele and Matthew Wilkinson are a further shot back. Adam Scott had two great rounds and then a 75 yesterday, and that's dropped him back to 6 under. Sadio Mane scored deep into injury time as Liverpool snatched a 2-1 win over Aston Villa to maintain their 6-point lead atop the English Premier League. In other results, winners overnight: Bournemouth, Brighton, Man City, Sheffield United, Newcastle, Chelsea, Arsenal and Wolves had a 1-1 draw. And Ash Barty is one win away from the biggest check of her tennis career. The world number one is into the final of the WTA finals in China. Ash fought off 11 break points to beat Caroline Pliskova in 3 sets in the semi, and she'll play the defending champ Elena Svitolina in tonight's decider. While at the Paris Masters, Novak Djokovic will play Denis Shapovalov in the final. Shapovalov was to meet Rafa Nadal in the semi, but the Spaniard pulled out before the match with an abdominal injury. Despite the withdrawal, boys, he will replace Djokovic as world number one tomorrow. But who will finish the year as world number one will depend on the results from the ATP finals, which start in London next week. But quickly back to Ash tonight. This tournament, $14 million in prize money. It was $7 million last year, so it's doubled, you know, in just over the year. But if Ash wins, she can pocket $4,420,000. So that's the winner's check. Plus, they have round-robin matches. There's 3 round-robin matches, and you get money for each one you win, and she won 2 of those. So, yeah, if she wins tonight, she'll win $4.42 million. If Svitolina wins, she'll win $4.725 million because she won 3 of the round-robin matches, which is a record in tennis at the moment. The previous record was the US Open this year, where both the men and ladies singles winners won $3.85 mil. So Ash has found her form in the right era at the right time.
Can't believe she didn't stay in the WBBL, but anyway.
Yeah. Is it out of whack, though, guys? I mean, I love everyone earning a quid, but $4.2 million for a tournament. I mean, does that resonate with the average Joe Blow?
I tell you what, I'm always a firm believer that the athletes should get paid what their sport generates.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A fair share.
Well, that's right, because was it this year or last year, Novak Djokovic and a couple of other players, I think Sloane Stephens from America, they approached the Federation wanting more prize money because the money that they get for just the 4 Grand Slams in sponsorship and television rights and everything that goes along with that, they just want a share of what they think they deserve.
Very popular sport around the globe, tennis. Mm. And if you owned controlled the TV rights to every event that was being played, can you imagine the deal you can cut with that? So, well done to her. By the way, just looking at that scoreboard for that New South Wales-South Australia game, Daniel Solway, who I think... Solway's from Canberra. I reckon he's got 133 not out. Chad Sayers, 8 for in that innings. 8 for. He's a very good bowler that he won't get a chance because...
We need the batsmen sticking their hand up, not the bowlers.
Well, yeah. Travis,
not the bowlers.
Travis Head got 100. Travis Head, he got 100 in that South Australian innings too. So
they're auditioning for the summer.
Very much so. Thank you, Tam. We do appreciate that. 1353 is the open line number. Let's get to the Sheik of the North. Hello, Sheik.
G'day, Jimmy. How are you going? Love the show.
Good on you, mate. What do you got for us?
For many, many years. I want to put up a Melbourne Cup from 1973.
Yes.
Mainly based on the fact that on that day, my late father got the Daily Double up. There weren't all the betting options you have today, as you might remember. It was only a Daily Double, and there was even just the Quinella race. I think it was the last race on any card. So to get the Daily Double up on Melbourne Cup Day was pretty big. But aside of that, Frank Reyes rode Gala Supreme, and it was a peach of a ride, you know?
Yeah.
There was a guy who was, you were talking about the elder statesman of the jockey's ranks, and Frank had quite a few bad falls, and he was on the crossroads about retiring and going on with riding, and he picked up this ride on Gala Supreme. It won the Herbert Power Handicap at Caulfield that year. And then they set it for the Melbourne Cup. And there was a raging favourite from New Zealand, as there often was, a big, mighty big horse called Glengowan.
Yeah.
And it was all the rage as the favourite. And Frank Reyes, with a really clever ride, if you watch the race and you just watch the way he gets that horse to the line, it's magic, you know?
Good on you, mate.
I want to pick that one up as my favourite moment, Melbourne Cup ride.
Yes, Sheik of the North, there is a strong nomination there. Might be hard to beat for the wingman, but we'll
take it.
Did
he mention my name?
You did.
He only said Jimmy, so he's out. You got to say and Bulldog to have any chance of winning, okay?
Hang on, let me.
It'd probably be wise you put me first.
Let me clear up. You have taken no role in selecting who wins the wingman.
Okay, nothing like feeling wanted.
What about this? Rort. Jimmy's mate, surprise, surprise, rings up and is all of a sudden in the quiz. Jimmy hangs up on the original caller, then hangs up on Bulldog's caller in the tiebreak. Ray, you were rorted. Ha ha, Mick from the room.
Good on to you.
Yeah, good on to you. It's amazing how it happens like that. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Dean, Bulldog, Richie and Jimmy.
Oh, Matt, you're the winner. Can we get him the beer?
Very clever.
Couldn't have timed it any better.
Yes. What do you got for us, mate?
Saintly, but I got a story behind it.
Yes.
And, well, I was at school, at high school, and I wagged school, or left school, to go home and go to the pub and watch it because Mum was working at the pub. But I brought my cousin along at the time, but then the next day I got back to school and I got suspended.
Gee, I can't work out why.
But you're back Saintly?
Yeah, I did. I told the old girl to back it, yeah.
Yeah, right. Of course. So, you're under 18, yeah. How old were you in 1996, just out of interest, Matt?
I was in grade 8. So I was 13.
How'd you get into the pub?
Your mum worked
there. Worked at the pub.
Right.
Weren't you out the back with a lemon squash and a packet of chips?
Mum was working there.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. I spent a lot of time at the Wallumbean Hotel with a lemon squash and a packet of chips, let me tell you that. 1353 is the open line number. Just before we go to Phil Moss, I want to tell you about Wingman Beer Dino. Now, they've got you back. Oh, by the way, you mentioned earlier that you hadn't had Wingman Beer, had you?
I haven't had one yet.
No. I've got something in common with Bulldog. I haven't tasted Wingman Beer either. The carton I won 2 weeks ago still hasn't arrived. That's Jack from Old Bar. Be patient, Jack.
I'd love to know where that ended up.
They're
in the back of Jay Smith's car.
They're so excited by the new Wingman mid-strength, 3.5% crisp, clean, never bit of lager. They're putting out a challenge. Next time you pick up your regular beer, grab a single can of Wingman, 3.5%, test it back-to-back with your beer, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Go to wingmanbeer.com.au to see where they've landed. And if you can't find it at your local Dino, give them a call on 1300 45 beer, or you can go to danmurphys.com.au and they will deliver it for free. Take the Wingman challenge today. Enjoy responsibly.
It's up there for Jesus. It might fall to City.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Oh, I think he was stuck on a plane, would you believe, on Friday night whilst I was watching Sydney FC go. Well, they won't go through the motions, but they did it pretty comfortably against the Newcastle Jets at Leichhardt Oval. I'm sure he caught up with the highlights. Good morning, Phil Moss.
A very good morning to you, Jimmy, and I should have been in there this morning just to see it because I can't believe it's all for Richie in the studio.
I come in every Wednesday.
That's Wednesday, mate. We're talking Sunday. Sunday's a real commitment.
Yeah, it is a commitment. It means a quiet Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly right. That's
no dribblers club for you on a Saturday night.
No, Slater's on his own last night.
Very, very good performance on Friday night, Mossy.
Yeah, outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. Look, I wasn't surprised, I have to say, and I said it on air last Sunday morning after the derby, Sydney FC's performance was exceptional. And I said if they keep creating chances like that, they're going to win a lot more games than they lose. And no doubt Stevie Corricky got them together Monday morning and said, look, let's really analyse the performance, not the results. And they carried on again and scored some wonderful goals. I think a real big one for me was Barbarouses getting off the mark for Sydney FC. And I think that'll give him a lot of confidence in a Sydney FC shirt ahead of the Big Blue next weekend against his old club. So, a lot of things to like about the Sydney FC performance. Newcastle, on the other hand, Tony Merrick, he went into bat for his players after the game and said, look, it's probably the, the worst performance of the season, which, you know, obviously the result would suggest that, but sometimes the result can mask the performance. But, yeah, he certainly is a man to panic in America.
Mossy, you just touched on Barbarousis' goal. Moving forward in terms of confidence, what will that mean for Sydney?
Yeah, huge, Bulldog. He's look, he's a major signing. We tried to get Barbarousis to Sydney a couple of seasons ago when I was there as an assistant, and we were very disappointed to miss out on him because he's the type of player that just breaks the line without effort. You know, he's always threatening to get in behind, but he's very, very good with the ball at his feet as well. He uses it very smartly. He's got composure in front of goal. Like that goal the other night was an exceptional goal. The way he worked the space for himself to finish it in a very tight area. Great assist from Brandon O'Neill too. The ball into Barbarousis' feet in behind the line was outstanding, but I think that'll give him huge confidence. He's the type of player who should comfortably break double figures, but with Sydney FC and the creativity they've got behind him, it wouldn't surprise me if he has one of those seasons where he could push for Golden Boot as well.
Incredible game down in Melbourne. The victory 2-0 up very early. Western United, the new boys on the block. It was an incredible comeback. Bessar Berisha getting a goal against his old team as well. But Mark Rudin, we know what he did with Wellington last year. There's something special about his managerial efforts, I think. Mossy, looking at it from a distance?
Yeah, you're right, Jimmy. He's still, you know, only his second season as a head coach in the A-League, but he had some success as well with Sydney United in the New South Wales NPL. But he's the type of coach, you can see the performance of his teams certainly reflects him as a manager and the way he used to play as well. You know, he used to roll his sleeves up. He was a real leader on the pitch as a defender. And, you know, he's got some quality players down there at Western United in Kone and Diamante, and among others. But certainly that performance last night at Marvel Stadium, away to Melbourne victory, 2-0 down, to come back and win it 3-2. I think Rude said after the game that says a lot about who we are as a club. That defines us as a club, that sort of performance and result. And they've announced themselves early and they've really joined the Melbourne Derby conversation in a serious way now. And Melbourne City have to pull their socks up. They really have to use this as a season that defines them and what they're about. And with the resources they've got, they really should be pushing for that title every season.
Mossy, you just mentioned Melbourne City. Two important games today in the A-League, Melbourne City v Wellington. And, of course, Perth Glory v Central Coast Mariners. Who do you like?
Look, I'm going to go with Melbourne City at home. I think they should win this one. And really, just going back to our last point, Bulldog, they should win this one comfortably, although Wellington have certainly been competitive. And Ulfric Talay in his rookie season has done a good job with them, considering the players that they lost, although the results don't suggest that, but their performances have been fighting at the very least. But Melbourne City should have too much class in that one, and Perth will win over there. In the West, I hate to say that against my old club, the Mariners, but, yeah, Tony Popovich, the quality he's got at his disposal is exceptional, and over there they should get the points.
So you've given us the $1.65 pop and the $1.45 pop, but anyway, all up those, and we'll get some value there for the listeners. Now, the English Premier League...
Well, here's where I can give you some value, Jimmy. If I went to Liverpool and Man City against Manchester United, what's Manchester United playing to win the league this season now?
They're running 10th. They're on 13 points. I think you could shut the book. Anyway, AFC Bournemouth, very hard, very tricky side away from home for AFC Bournemouth. But the thing I did want to make mention of, Brighton and Hove Albion, 2-0 win for them, so they are climbing the ladder. But Matty Ryan, another clean sheet.
Yeah, that's important. Their goal difference is zero at the moment, so they've scored, I think, 14 and conceded 14. But as you said, another clean sheet for Maddie, and they're up to eighth position. They've won three out of their last four, including that big 3-0 win over Spurs a few weeks ago. But they've got a run coming up now. They've got Manchester United away, which will be another 3 points. Then they've got Leicester at home, Liverpool away, and Arsenal away. Arsenal not travelling that great, but I guess the point is they've got three big clubs there, Manchester United, Liverpool and Arsenal, and Leicester, who are absolutely flying. So it's a tough run coming up, but tell you what, they're on a great little run, and they started the season doing it tough, but certainly this run will help them no end.
Yeah, Chelsea, as you mentioned, Mossy, 2-1 winners over Watford. They continue to impress, don't they?
Bulldogs, I reckon they're the third most watchable team in the Premier League this season, behind, obviously, Liverpool and Manchester City. And, you know, you just sense that they're really starting to settle into EPL life under Frank Lampard, and he's really starting to own that position. I've watched some of his press conferences. You can often tell, you know, the confidence of a manager when they sit in front of the cameras after a win or a loss. But he kept calm because they didn't start the season on fire, but they've certainly gone on a nice little run now, and he's doing a really good job, and it's great to see because he's a legend of the club as a player, and you know, kind of like the opposite to Solskjaer, you like to see legends come back and do well, and he's certainly ticking those boxes.
Yeah. Anyway, the less said about Man United at the moment, the better. Mossy, we've got to say goodbye.
Well, Jimmy, just quickly, how long do they give Solskjaer?
What's that?
You've got to weigh into the debate. How long do they give Solskjaer? They've lost 1-0 to Bournemouth overnight.
This season's a write-off, and unfortunately for Ole Gunnar, it's all over. He's going to go. It's just a matter of finding the right person to fill the breach.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a write-off from a point of view of them winning the title, but it certainly can't be viewed as a write-off to getting things right for the future.
Absolutely.
The sooner they make that decision, the better, I think.
Rip the Band-Aid off, I think, Mossy, is the way they talk about it.
That's the one, Jimmy. Now, listen, when's my wingman beer arriving? You promised me that 6 weeks ago.
Great to have you on the program, Mossy. We look forward to chatting to you next week.
You're doing a magnificent job this morning. Well done, mate.
Did I promise you wingman beer?
Yeah, I think I sent you my address 3 times. I'll take the message.
Okay, there's another one I've got to get to. Anyway, thank you, Mossy. We'll speak next week.
We've been inquiring into this. It's getting out of hand.
There he is, Phil Moss, our footballing expert. Very thirsty at the moment.
Just let me open up your fridge.
Can I
There'd be one
you?
Apple,
Listen.
A pear, and 340 wingmans.
I've got 3 young kids. There's a carton of milk in there as well. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Brady Height.
Hello, friends. Vossie here with your annual planning reminder. When was the last time you said yes when you shouldn't have? I'm not talking about that lady from the hotel bar. I'm talking about accepting an invitation to a family function when it clashes with a big sporting moment. Ah, man, that gives me the Don't be squinty to watch the game on a phone the size of a bar coaster. Avoid all of that with a SportsU subscription. The SportsU diary is going digital. Go to sportsu.com.au. Click on the subscribe button. SportsU. Plan it right.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
You've had a tough year. You were forced to try Bikram yoga. Your mother-in-law moved in. You got a back wax. So end the year on a high with Volkswagen's MY19 model clearance. Pick up the truly tough Amarok Core from just $39,990 drive away with our ABN holders demonstrator clearance offer. Head into your local dealer today for offers you truly deserve. Conditions and exclusions apply. Visit Volkswagen.com.au.
At Wingman, we've got your back. We're so excited by our new Wingman mid-strength 3.5% crisp, clean, never bitter lager. We're putting out a challenge. Next time you buy your beer, grab a single can of Wingman 3.5%, and if it's not the cleanest, tastiest, crispest lager you've ever had, take it back and Wingman will refund your money. Visit wingmanbeer.com.au to see where we've landed, and if you can't find us at your local, call us on 1300 45 BEER. Take the Wingman challenge today. Now also available online with Dan Murphy's. Enjoy responsibly.
Make room on the mountaintop. Tiger Woods has matched Sam Snead with 82 PGA Tour wins, the most of all time.
On On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
A time now to chat to our American sports expert, and we know he's a massive Tiger Woods fan. I just wonder what he thought of equaling Sam Snead's record for PGA wins. Brady Hyde from Los Angeles. Morning, Brady.
Jimmy, good to talk to you. Dean, good to talk to you this morning. Missing Ray, but good to talk to Dean.
Yeah, what did you make of that performance of Tiger Woods?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jimmy, so obviously I know I'm an apologist for Tiger, but 82 wins after coming off four back surgeries, one of them a back fusion. You know, a ton of people are just hoping to walk at that point. Tiger, you know, in his interviews after his final round when he won, you know, he just talked about not being able to hit the ball as far as most of the guys, you know, in today's modern game. But he can really think his way around the course. My favorite quote he had, they were talking about the President's Cup, which is obviously coming down your guys' way at Royal Melbourne in mid-December. And they asked about Tiger, the player, versus Tiger, the captain. And Tiger said, yeah, I think the player got the captain's attention today, which yeah. I just thought was fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. Brady, I just wanted to check on Friday. I watched the 49ers beat the Cardinals. Cardinals were very brave, I've got to be honest. But it does keep the 49ers unbeaten from memory. Are they the real deal this year? I mean, they're a very famous club in Australia because of the West Coast connection. Are they the real deal or are they false leaders?
They are the real deal. I literally bet the wrong way a couple weekends ago, thinking they were going to maybe have a stumble in them. I watched the game closely Thursday night. They played a division rival, which ups the stakes a little for them. And although it was tight, their defense is so stout, it's unreal. And Garoppolo, who as we know, was the backup for Tom Brady and pretty heralded in New England there, you know, they just have a really solid core on both offense and defense. I think they are for sure the team to beat in the NFC. Not sure if they're the Super Bowl favorite, but the Niners for sure the real deal.
At New England are the Super Bowl favorites, $3.25 for Tom and the team. New Orleans at $6. And San Francisco have now rocketed into third in the line of betting at $8. Now, you had a couple of tips that you wanted to follow up for the listeners for this week of NFL.
Yeah. So first off, guys, the Browns, who are 2-6, I believe, and when they acquired Odell Beckham Jr. from the Giants, they had a surging rookie Baker Mayfield at quarterback.
Yes.
Pretty solid defense on the hook. AFC contenders possibly. They are really down in the dumps. But honestly, they're heading to Denver, and Denver is throwing in a quarterback who's 27 years old who's never made an NFL start. It's such a different scenario to be a backup in the NFL versus someone who's in the NFL and has never played a game.
Yeah.
I really like the Browns. I've got the Browns at -4. I'm not sure where you guys are seeing them right now. But the Browns' defense is as good as it's been this year. And the left tackle who's meant to protect the quarterback for the Broncos and this, you know, quarterback who's never played a game, that might be the worst left tackle in the NFL. So I really like the Browns this week in Denver.
Right.
And then the Packers. Packers are playing at the Chargers in L.A. I was at a game recently, as I think most of you know, Steelers played the Chargers. It was literally a home game for Pittsburgh on the opposite coast. Packers travel as a fan base as well as the Steelers do. It's only Packers -4 as recently as I'm seeing.
Yes.
And the Chargers just have zero identity on offense. I mean, they don't know who to run the ball to. Phillip Rivers is not super efficient. They're a little banged up at wide receiver. Loving the Packers on the road at -4.
All right, we'll take them here at -3.5. That's $1.95 into Green Bay. And then Cleveland, the Browns, they're $1.50 head-to-head, and they're -3.5. They're into $1.85. Brady, we've got a fly. Well done. And by the way, you are under a little bit of pressure to get some of these tips right at some point.
Big pressure, Jim. I'm feeling it. You know, I feel it, and I feel like I'm going to get it done on both accounts this weekend.
If he's in LA, he can get away with this one. Who's going to track him down?
I will. I'll track him down, Dino. I'll get him.
Hey, boys, do you have any coverage on the Breeders' Cup this weekend?
Yeah, we've been covering it a little bit earlier today. 11:44, I think they're away at Santa Anita, the Cup Classic.
Big time, big time.
Tell me,
you guys are big horse race fans. Hope everybody has some good luck this weekend on the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, all right. Good job. We'll speak again next week.
Guys, love to talk to you. Talk soon.
Brady Hyde, our man in LA. There you go. Could he be any more LA? That's what I ask you. 1353-53, the open line number. Now, we've still got Wingman to give away. I think we've got a new race favourite at this point. I think it's Matt who told us a story about dodging school and going to the pub because mum was there as a 14-year-old. Tough to beat at this point. Let's go to callers there. Peter's on the line. G'day, Pete.
G'day, Jimmy D. How are you?
Really
G'day.
Well, mate.
I love them all, but my favourite's 2008. I was always a fan of backing buttons, pulling darts horses as three-year-olds. Anyway, dude was in the Brisbane Cup that year, and I went and I backed him, and I watched him win, and he just demolished a good field. And I thought, well, you know, this has got great staying power. So when the Cup's betting open, I started having $30 to win on him every paycheck at 20-1. Anyway, I did this for about 8 or 9 weeks, and as his preparation unfolded, it didn't look good, you know, so I kept my money in my pocket then. But come Cup Day, I've looked in the Eagle Farm, and they're freely betting 60-1. So I've taken 20-1, about a 60-1 shot. Anyway, I found me lucky telly. Blake Sims dashed at 3 in front. I've gone the early crow, which is something I never do, right? I hit the line. I thought I'd been beat. I've been kicking rocks. Anyway, he won, he lasted, and Bart won his 12th Cup, which is probably the most significant thing in Cup history, I think. But
yes,
it was a great day. I outdid myself. I took 20-1 of our 60-1 shot. But funny thing was, I probably wouldn't have backed it come the day, so I was lucky.
You did well. Good yarn. Good yarn. You did very well on that one. Well done, Pete. Yeah, famous victory for Viewed. I think at that point was the shortest winning margin in Cup history. I think that's been superseded. Paul's on the line. G'day, Paul.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Really well, mate. What do you got for us, Paul?
I've just got a couple. As we all know, there's all legend stories and tears and all sorts of things with Melbourne Cups. But the third McCybe's Eagle win, when Greg Miles said, when a horse becomes a legend, which is still gives me goosebumps every time I hear it.
It's a great call. It's a great
call. And the other one was when a Mary Kane won. There's a sports bloodhound, you might know. His name's Andrew Bensley. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, name's familiar.
Yeah, well, a horse by the name of Mary Kane won the Melbourne Cup. So Mr. Bensley, rang Jerry Ryan the following morning while he was driving his car.
Yeah.
And there was a bit of a pause, and what happened was that the police grabbed Jerry Ryan for using his phone while driving. He only had 1 point left on his license, and he lost his life.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
He'd be back into the caravans, Jerry.
Beg your pardon?
He'd be back onto the caravans.
I think he could afford, but I mean, it was 2010. It's the best sentence now, using a phone while driving. But,
absolutely.
A couple of those moments you hear on radio that just stick in your mind.
Very good, Paul. That's a nice one. 1353-53, the open line number. By the way, we're still trying to track down Scotty Foster, but what you got to do, Dino, is... Are you in the market for a car?
I am, actually. I am. My car's getting a little bit battered up.
Now,
I don't want to pay for it.
Scotty has been down there at Derby Day, and we know that's just a recipe for him not being able to answer his phone. So we want to keep the 100% strike rate going. We're advertising a car... It's a little bit different. It's very cheap. The Mazda 6 Classic Automatic Wagon, 2.3 litre with air conditioning, power windows, airbags, ABS, alloys, and has good service history. It's on a super special today of just $4,990. This is extremely cheap for the Mazda 6 Wagon in this condition. It's automatic with all those features that we've mentioned. It looks great. Don't miss out on the fantastic automatic. Give us a call on 9637 5024 or go to the website, Foster's Quality Cars. sky sports.com.au. Make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio, and that's how you get that very good price. If you want access to money, lenders having a little bit of trouble with that, Steve Foster and Sons can help you out. You can get finance to get into a car or a truck if you've had credit issues in the past. It's time to call now if you have a pension or if you had unpaid default, starting a new business, or you need a work vehicle, even Uber driving. Then you've got to go to the website, fostersqualitycars.com.au. And remember, if you're after a truck, remember Mick Appleby, Dino?
Winger?
Yeah, well, that's a very good, yeah. So front rower for the Bulldogs under-21s grand final winning team.
Roosters.
Came to the Roosters, played on the wing.
Correct.
Not many have done that. Well, anyway, he's involved with the Good Truck Wholesalers. When I say he's involved, I think he's the owner. But anyway, they can supply trucks to all the listeners around our listening area. Remember, give them a call, 9637-5024, or you can go to the website, fostersqualitycars.com.au. And boys, a quick happy birthday to my youngest son, Ben, and my granddaughter, Olivia. Birthdays were yesterday and today, so happy birthday to you both. That, of course, coming in from Stevie, the boss man, not Scotty, who is yet to be found.
Are you a car man, Jimmy?
Derby day. What do you mean, I'm a car man?
Well, do you enjoy cars? Are you a rev head?
No. No, I'm not a rev head. No, I think...
You get around in a nice vehicle?
Not really, no. Okay. It's pretty old.
Right.
My wife gets around in a much better vehicle
right,
than I do.
Okay.
That's a little bit of a problem, Dino. But anyway, a source of much consternation in our household, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Why? What are you a car man?
No, not really, mate.
No? Not really. Just get me to A to B and that'll be doing. Coming up on Racing HQ, we've got the Goulburn preview with John Scorse. Gary Harley is going to look at the meeting at Muswellbrook. And on Radio Tab, remember, we've got Past the Post. They're going to go through all the markets for the Melbourne Cup. Past the Post, that's coming up on Radio Tab. So stick around all our Queensland, Northern Territory, South Australian and Tasmanian.